And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Wainihau. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Guten Tag. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Peace. Now. For people and other animals, what do we want? Peace. When do we want it? Now. How do we get it? Go vegan. Sorry, I'm still in my megaphone cadence, from the circus being in Southern California. Well, if you promise to join me, though, if you walk with me opening night at Ringling Brothers in San Diego, August 10th, I promise I won't use the megaphone. It's what got me arrested there last year on bogus charges, and we do want to be, we want to be able to be near the ticket booth and talk to people about the cruelty of the circus. So, and remember, I have sacrificed so much over the years, an arrest at the LA Sports Arena, an arrest at Arrowhead Pond, where I did use my megaphone opening night for Ringling Brothers, and oddly enough, that was my crime a couple of years ago, right? I was arrested for using the megaphone. This year, no problem. No problem in L.A. So it's time we get near the ticket booth when the cruelest show on earth comes to San Diego, and opening night is August 10th. Circus still at Arrowhead Pond through next Sunday, August 7th, so still plenty of opportunities to protest, okay? You know, when Ringling Brothers comes to town, we interrupt all our regular demonstrations against the illegal war in Iraq, Nam, our global demonstrations for peace, to have our local demonstrations for peace against the oppressor, against the animal Abu Ghraib, known as Ringling Brothers, the circus there from the entertainment capital of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Industrial Complex of the Corporation of the United States of Listeria. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And, it was Henry Ringling North who said, animals perform out of fear. And I wonder, how much fear would it take for you to jump through a hoop of fire, huh? Lions and tigers and bears in the wild never jump through hoops of fire or balance on balls or, whatever tricks they're made to do, like those prisoners at Abu Ghraib. But anyway, please stop whatever you're doing for peace and do something for peace while the circus is in town. Go protest. It's a show now that's illegal in Santa Ana. It's illegal in Huntington Beach. Yes, this very same show, it would be a crime scene in Huntington Beach and in Pasadena. It's illegal in Corona. It's all throughout Southern California, around the country, but certain cities have banned it. Corona, Encinitas has banned it, So illegal in all those places and continues to be immoral everywhere else where it hasn't been banned. It's what's the expression? No justice, no peace, huh? And the mentality of slavery and oppression—that's the circus. It's all part of the equation, So the next time you see a protester at a circus, people who don't get paid a dime to fight the traffic, or people who are standing outside in the sweltering heat, far away from a restroom. There's no reward for them. They've just recognized an injustice, and their sense of justice compels them to exercise their First Amendment rights to speak up for those who cannot speak at all. So, yeah, do me a favor. The next time you see a demonstrator at a circus, and instead of yelling, get a life, the next time, why don't you thank that person for being all that's good about America, for exercising constitutional rights? I mean, if somebody doesn't use them, then we're all going to lose them, And you think, oh, yeah, it's those animal rights advocates today, but... right now there are some people at the CIA who want the freedom of speech, considering what's going on there, So thank that demonstrator for helping to make America great, for the contribution being made to justice and to peace. And, holy cow. As long as we're a society that laughs at the weak when they're being physically beaten, well, that's a society... I think that's a society that's become our government policy under George W. Bush and under this regime. So you see, thinking circuses are fun leads to having a George W. Bush regime in office. And And if there's any evidence of the presence of the human form of mad cow disease here in the United States of Listeria, it is the psychotic dysfunctional behavior of, it's not just Bush and Cheney, it's like all of our leaders now, all of whom eat meat. Did you notice that? They all have that in common. So don't be like George W. Bush. He eats meat. You don't have to do that. You can be vegan. Anyhow, is it sufficiently globally warmed for you by now? A very hot summer we have going on here, called the dog days of summer, which should remind us that it's, of course, way too hot to leave your dog alone in the car, even for a little while. So be a good guardian and leave him or her at home and not alone in the car in the sweltering heat. It's summer now and kind of my favorite time of year. And, you know, people lay back a little. They get into vacation mode. They sit on the swing in the backyard sipping a mint julep or you remember my favorite refreshing drink, which is just kind of a mixture of peach juice and mint. Impeachment. Anyway, so people sit in the backyard gossiping with the neighbor, and maybe some folks have had enough of the Carl Benedict Arnold Rove story on how your government has been infiltrated and hijacked and, you know, run by criminals and stolen, and the treasury is gone and, you know, all of that. So people want to put that down for a moment and get into other gossip. And I see by some of the emails going sent around, I was mentioned as part of the gossip. It seems that there was this food bar company that put out a product that said it was vegan, but it contained honey. So people were contacting the company, and the company said, the people who contacted the company who were concerned said that they got a rude response and that the company attempted to validate its honey is vegan claim by referring to me, telling the consumers that if they want to call a nationally syndicated talk show host a liar, then they suggest you contact Bob Linden at Go Vegan Radio. So I don't quite understand it myself. Well, here's a letter that, I believe I got from, this is from, we'll say Karen A., okay? Dear Mr. Linden, I'm writing to you regarding a complaint I made to one of your sponsors, PureFit, about labeling its chocolate brownie bar vegan. I realize that there are vegans who consume honey. My husband is one. Although they know that it is technically not vegan, and that's absolutely fine. My concern was that many vegans would see the label and reasonably enough assume that the bar contained no honey and then be rather upset when they read the ingredients. Someone else emailed that company to explain that honey is not vegan and received in reply a letter that he couldn't decipher, it says here. He posted this email, so it's been going around and it's posted, and she said she took it upon herself to contact the management of the company, and she said she received a rude reply. I know nothing about that. I'm just going by, you know, I'm just part of the rumor mill here, and goes on and on, and and in the reply it said, if you truly believe you know more about the definition and meaning of the word vegan than a nationally syndicated talk show host, I suggest you contact Bob and call him a liar. And several people have been upset with me, and I just wrote back to Karen. I want you to know what I said to her, and I asked her to pass the word around too. I said, anyway, to me, honey is not vegan, and I am in total bewilderment as to why anyone would think my position to be otherwise. I have never claimed honey to be vegan. Honey is not vegan. There, I said it again, and that is the accurate quote from whom I believe is the nationally syndicated talk show host referenced in your email. I'm not 100% sure of that because PureFit is not, nor has it ever been, a sponsor or advertiser on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. If it were, it would be limited to advertising only vegan products on my radio show. Products that contain any animal ingredients or that have been tested on animals may not be advertised, and that includes honey. So I certainly hope that you might clarify my position to those, you know. I personally am as repulsed by the thought of bee vomit on my plate as I am by a glass of trans species mammary secretions. Thank you, Bob Linden. You know, so I sent that. And there was a bit of an exchange back and forth on emails and all of that. So just wanted you to know about that. you know, if the rumors are, because somebody did write and say, I've heard that there's this crazy vegan saying honey is vegan, and I'm not saying that, but still might be true that there's this crazy vegan, you know, having a talk show. But if you go to the website, vegetus.org, and it's V-E-G-E-T-U-S.org, it's some really interesting information on honey. Off that website, it says, well, the simplest reason why honey isn't vegan is by definition. The term vegan was coined by Donald Watson in 1944 and was defined as follows. Veganism is a way of living which excludes all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to the animal kingdom and includes a reverence for life. It applies to the practice of living on the products of the plant kingdom to the exclusion of flesh, fish, fowl, eggs, honey, animal milk and its derivatives, and encourages the use of alternatives for all commodities derived wholly or in part from animals. And, you know, then there's a book from Gould and Gould called The Honeybee, Scientific American Library. It says, the assumption that insects are, by virtue of their size or their lack of an internal skeleton, necessarily simple, has frequently beguiled researchers into overly reductionistic hypotheses. Who said you don't get any culture from this show, huh? So what's the story here on bees? Well, animal, mineral, you know, vegetable, those are the classifications, and bees are animals. Well, the queen mates once over a few days in her life with 7 to 17 drones, the males, who actually sort of explode and die. She stores the sperm for years. She lays 1,000 to 1,500 eggs a day. Seems like egg laying sounds like an animal to me, huh? Unfertilized eggs become drones, and fertilized ones become workers. And, okay, so getting the story here on the bees part of the birds and the bees. It says almost all honeybees are female. The 40,000 workers and the queen, the only known purpose of the hundreds of males is to mate with the queen. These drones are thrown out of the hive before winter, so their useless selves don't eat any of the honey, it says here. So see, bees are, you know, even a lot like humans in a way. Honeybees communicate with each other. They do this through, pheromones, excreted odors, sound produced by vibration of the wings, and through the language of dance. Using sound and dance, foragers alert the rest of the hive to quality food sources. They convey the distance with the number of waggles and sounds. So there's a lot of communication going on. Complicated creatures that they are. Bees have a division of labor that's roughly age-based. Young workers can be found cleaning cells, capping and removing caps on cells with larvae in them, tending to the brood, tending to the queen, receiving nectar, packing pollen, building comb, cleaning the hive, ventilating. Actually, it sounds like they do more work than humans. And then later tasks include foraging for nectar, pollen, water, and propolis, with bees specializing in one area. Now, there's a book by Snodgrass called Anatomy of the Honeybee, which says they are animals with a large nervous system capable of transmitting pain signals. Okay? And now we have a situation where, like factory farms, we have factory honey. And, that's the situation it's become now. A successor queen is selected by a human instead of the reigning queen, both of whom may have been artificially inseminated, and the queens are killed off prematurely. Travel is rough on the queens in the honey trade, and you can find that often they're left, in conditions that are heated or chilled or out in the sun or banged around in baggage compartments and all. So, and often colonies are split right in half according to what the beekeepers want, not what the queen wants. And when manipulating the bees, most beekeepers use a smoker to maintain control and to prevent some stings. Often in the fall and winter, they put up a mouse guard, and usually the bees would clean out the hive. So, all of that going on, I think it's proving that bees are animals and honey is from animals and honey would not be vegan. You know, beeswax is secreted by bees to build their hives. Propolis is plant resin collected by bees and mixed with enzymes. It's used around the hive as glue and as an antiseptic. Bee brood are bees that are not fully developed. They're not even vegetarian. So if you take bee brood, you have animals in your diet, okay? How repulsive, okay? Okay, so you get the idea on that. And let's see, bee pollen, 40% plant carbohydrate, 5% plant fat, 5% plant protein, 50% fungus, bacteria, insect body parts and hairs, mites, and bee fecal matter. Sounds like not the sweetener of my choice. And you can also go to the PETA website, and they have a fact sheet on honey there. And there's the recognition that profiting from honey requires the manipulation and exploitation of the insect's desire to live and protect their hive. And, you know, some farmers kill all the bees in the fall because it's easier than winterizing the hives. And since healthy honeybees are becoming harder and harder to find, farmers are resorting to trucking hives across the country. And, you know, it's just a mess. So what you can do is avoid honey. I know there are many other. I really like agave as a sweetener. I really like that. So avoid honey, beeswax, propolis, royal jelly, and other products that come from bees. Vegan lip balms and candles are readily available. You can visit caringconsumer.com for a list of companies that don't use animal products. And as I mentioned, agave, there's also, organic cane sugar, rice syrup, molasses, barley malt, maple syrup, dried fruit, fruit concentrates, all that can replace honey. But don't replace honey with refined white sugar, because that itself is filtered and bleached through cow bones. So that, you know, we vegans, no honey and no refined white sugar, please. And I did happen to notice the other day, I was at Whole Foods at the coffee bar there, and it was CNH refined sugar on the, at the coffee bar. So if you go to Whole Foods, and you're vegan, don't put the sugar in, okay? And so honey is not okay for vegans, I'm vegan, so no honey. I might even suggest that you eat meat before you eat honey. Now, how's that for a controversial topic for someone who...
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Oh, no, I'm going to get emails saying that what vegan supports eating meat, but I don't know, there was something out of the Ascribe Newswire in College Park, Maryland a few days ago that said experiments for NASA space missions have shown that small amounts of edible meat can be created in a lab, but the technology that could grow chicken nuggets without the chicken on a large scale may not be just a science fiction fantasy. In a paper in the June 29th issue of Tissue Engineering, a team of scientists, including University of Maryland doctoral student Jason Matheny, propose two new techniques of tissue engineering that may one day lead to affordable production of in vitro, lab-grown meat for human consumption. Now, of course, I'm totally repulsed by the idea of consuming any body parts, but if they're grown in the lab and no animal suffers, it is the first peer-reviewed discussion on the prospects for industrial production of cultured meat. Quote, "There would be a lot of benefits from cultured meat," says Matheny, who studies agricultural economics and public health. "For one thing, you could control the nutrients. For example, most meats are high in the fatty acid omega-6, which can cause high cholesterol and other health problems. With in vitro meat, you could replace that with omega-3, which is a healthy fat. On the other hand, cultured meat could appeal to people concerned about food safety, the environment, and animal welfare, and people who want to tailor food to their individual tastes," says Matheny. The paper even suggests that meat makers may one day sit next to bread makers on the kitchen counter. With a single cell, you could theoretically produce the world's annual meat supply, and you could do it in a way that's better for the environment and human health. In the long term, this is a very feasible idea, says the quote here. And on the web for more information on cultured meat, You can see the New Harvest website. It's new-harvest.org, new-harvest.org. To request a copy of the paper, you contact Larry Bernstein at Tissue Engineering, L. Bernstein at liebertpub.com. And you can also contact the University of Maryland. Vegans for Meat. Is this show weird or what? Anyway, we'll get back to our roots. We'll make common sense on the show yet today, I promise. We have wonderful guests on the show who will anchor me and deter me from being the pro-meat vegan talk show host. I don't want to see those emails coming around, okay? You can support this radio show, the crazed vegan talk show host. So we have to buy the airtime from the radio stations each and every week, and it costs a lot of money, so I have to sell advertising. That's what I do with the rest of my time, and it's only for vegan and cruelty-free products, no products that contain honey. And tax-deductible donations are solicited from you, and you can make your check payable to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. You can email me, bob@goveganradio.com. You can call me, 818-623-6477. And all of the information you need. In fact, you can make a donation online. And this show today gets archived, and you can hear it forever and ever and have your friends listen at goveganradio.com. Okay, on today's show, coming up, we have Freya Dinshaw of the American Vegan Society and a big event that they're having coming up shortly. And that's going to be happening at the farm in Tennessee. And we're also going to talk to Doug Stevenson of the farm. And so we have vegan history coming up and a great event for you to attend and lots of events in Southern California we'll talk about later in the hour on this, the planet's first and only vegan program on commercial radio. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I'm always talking about how delicious Vegenaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Vegenaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Vegenaise? Or a tofu burger with Vegenaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Vegenaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Vegenaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Weber's MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Vegenaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Also from Follow Your Heart, vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt, which means you don't have to have dairy, but you can still enjoy pizza and enchiladas and nachos, all those good things from Follow Your Heart. And Follow Your Heart has a number of vegan salad dressings that you can enjoy, creamy miso ginger, balsamic vinaigrette, and Italian vinaigrette.
MEATSTINKS. MEATSTINKS.
That it does, and you don't have to endure that odor if you go to the wonderful new restaurant in Hollywood called Truly. Hooray for Hollywood. It now has a truly wonderful vegan restaurant called Truly, T-R-U-L-Y, conveniently located on Hollywood Boulevard, right there at the Hollywood Boulevard exit off the 101 at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson. And, you know, whether you're a Hollywood celebrity or you just want to eat like one, Truly is the place for you. If you work at a Hollywood studio or any area business, call for delivery. Have Truly cater your next event, 323-466-7958. 323-466-7958. And I like eating at restaurants that say on the menu, quote, We want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society by using products that are animal-free. We are making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. That's on the menu, and everything else on the menu is totally delicious, from breakfast, lunch, dinner, soup, salads, burgers, and sandwiches, and wraps, and noodle dishes, and curries, and, you know, you love the pad thai there, veggies and rice. Just check it out. You're going to like it. It's Truly, 323-466-7958, Truly at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood.
GOVEGANRADIO.com. GOVEGANRADIO.com.
For nearly 8 months now, PETA 2 street teamers have campaigned against retailer Wet Seal, demanding that the chain stop selling clothing made of fur. Well, on July 20th, PETA received written assurance that Wet Seal will not carry fur this fall season. As a result, PETA has called a moratorium on its Wet Seal campaign until January 2006, when PETA will meet with company officials to discuss a permanent fur-free policy. So in the meantime, PETA is asking that you please stop all communication with Wet Seal right now. There is a moratorium now on fur.
This is gonna be your fall blending.
And as we continue, I'm very happy to have a couple of wonderful guests with us today on Go Vegan. Freya Dinshaw of the American Vegan Society, about to have its summer conference. And we'll also be talking to Doug Stevenson of The Farm in Summertown, Tennessee. And that's where Freya's conference is happening. So welcome, Freya. Welcome, Doug. You're both there now.
Hello, Bob. Yes, I'm here.
Good.
Hey.
Hi, Doug. How are you? Yeah. So, well, first, Doug, let's hear a little bit about The Farm, where Freya's event is going to take place August 10th through the 14th. And you know, we're kind of at a time, it's, I think a lot of people, you know, kind of want to escape, you know, and and think, well, you know, an intentional community of vegans, like-minded people who are for peace and justice, that sounds like a pretty good idea, you know. Did we think of it first, or has it happened already?
Well, the farm community was established in 1971. We actually kind of gathered in San Francisco during the Haight-Ashbury period. Left California with 60 school buses, traveled around the country, and settled in Tennessee on 1,700 acres. We spent the first 10 years kind of putting our infrastructure together, building our community as a communal experiment. And then in the early 80s, we evolved into a community that has about 200 residents. Each adult member pays in about $100 a month, and that covers all of our infrastructure costs, like keeping our roads, our water system, those type of things. And we don't try to grow all our own food. We don't try to be a self-sufficient community in that way, but people have lots of intensive gardens, and we eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables that way. The community was founded on the principles of a vegan diet, and is known around the world for helping to promote that and get tofu as something that you can now buy in any supermarket around the country.
Yes, so it started back in the early 70s, which was a time where people trying to escape from the Vietnam War and the injustices of society at that time, what might have felt oppressive at that time? Or?
Well, I wouldn't say, you know, we really weren't trying to escape, but we were seeking a back-to-the-land, a closer-to-nature lifestyle. But The Farm has always been a very activist community, with outreach as one of our primary goals. So we have a book publishing company that's one of the largest publishers of vegetarian and vegan cookbooks in the country.
And
we host conferences like Freya's conference that's coming up throughout the year. So we're really about trying to help get the message out. We're not trying to hide.
Right. And the book publishing company is called?
The Book Publishing Company.
See, I knew.
We founded a lot of our early philosophy on the concept of Zen, which was, egoless, unadulterated. So we didn't wear a lot of jewelry. We didn't wear makeup. A little of that stuff has changed through the years, but you'll find a lot of the aspects of the community, just the fact that we're called The Farm is born from that idea.
So it's kind of generic in a way. It's The Farm. It's the book publishing company. The only more generic thing would have been if you called it, the generic book publishing company, mm-hmm. I guess. What are some of the biggest sellers or the most notable of the books in the collection at book publishing company?
Well, the Farm Vegetarian Cookbook has been a staple for people really transitioning from a meat diet to a vegetarian diet. I mean, we get letters and people that email us all the time saying, I've used your book till it's worn out. Can I get a new copy? Well, we revised it a few years ago, changed a few of the ingredients, lowered the fat and the oil content and a few things to be a little more in step with the times. But that has been a really good seller for us. Probably the other largest book by the book publishing company has been Spiritual Midwifery. Sold thousands and thousands of copies that have been translated into many languages all over the world, because it all starts with taking care and having healthy babies and then taking care of them as kids.
Great, yeah. So how can people find out about The Farm on the internet?
We have a couple of different websites. Our primary website is thefarmcommunity.com, and then another sister website is called thefarm.org, and they both have your basic information as well as some historical perspective and talks about what our belief system is. And then those link to a website called farmcatalog.com, which has a number of our cookbooks available online.
And you were pioneers in soy foods?
Yes, we really just figured out early on that the most efficient way to feed folks is on a vegetarian diet. And as your listeners know, it takes 10 times as much protein raising the soybeans and feeding them to cattle as it does if you just eat the protein directly. So we jumped on the soy bandwagon right off the bat, built one of the first soy dairies. We were using old washing machines as a centrifuge to separate the pulp from the milk. We started communicating with some of the scientists around the country who turned us on to the Tempe spores. They were just starting to bring Tempe spores over from Indonesia, so we helped develop that food and created a lab that now provides the Tempe spores that most Tempe producers use around the country.
Great. So we're talking to Doug Stevenson from The Farm in Summertown, Tennessee, where there will be a conference coming up August 10th through the 14th, the American Vegan Society's Summer Conference. And Freya Dinshaw is with the American Vegan Society. And Freya, tell us a bit about how the American Vegan Society came to be.
Well, the American Vegan Society has been around since 1960.
1960, so that's 45 years.
Yes, it was founded by my husband, Jay Dinshaw. He was inspired by the Vegan Society in England. He had grown up vegetarian, but from reading their literature, he realized that there were problems with eating eggs and dairy products and wearing leather. It was quite a revelation to him, but when he realized it, he said, well, I'm not going to drink any more milk, and I'm not going to wear leather shoes anymore. And there not being much of a source of such information in this country, that's why he founded the American Vegan Society.
And what has the American Vegan Society been doing since then?
Well, we've been gathering information that will help people live a vegan lifestyle, which includes books from various sources.
Yes.
In the beginning, our list of books that we offered was rather small, but it's grown considerably over the years. And we now have, we have books available by mail order. We have close to 600 different titles available. We also have videotapes and audio tapes.
So what are some of your recommendations for books?
Well, we We like the book by John Robbins, his latest being The Food Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Is excellent, and we have been ordering books from book publishing for many years. That's how we know the people at the farm.
And haven't you authored a book or two yourself? Or?
Yes, I wrote a book called The Vegan Kitchen, which was the first book cookbook to have vegan in the title.
Oh, really?
Yes, it wasn't the first vegan cookbook as such. There were two or three before that, but it was the first book, vegan cookbook, to have vegan in the title.
I was trying to do that with a radio show. I was trying to get the vegan as a title in a radio show. I wonder if I'm first.
Yeah, maybe you are.
Well, your website is American.
That's my claim to fame.
Well, this is mine. The website is AmericanVegan.org. And what about the conference coming up? What's going on at the farm for the American Vegan Society?
Well, periodically we get news from the farm, and when we heard that they had a conference center, we thought perhaps this was somewhere we could go to have one of our events. We try to go to different parts of the country. We've been to Boulder, Colorado, Olympia, Washington. We've been to San Diego, California, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So we thought this was an opportunity to go to Tennessee. And we realized that it's not just a place where we can go and have a conference with our own people and our own speakers, but it's a very interesting place to go because of the resources that they have there. And we are anxiously going to learn about their soy food production, about their mushroom growing, and many of the other things we can learn from them.
Yeah, it sounds like a fascinating place. I wish it were a little closer to where I am from Southern California, but I'm going to have to make it over there. It sounds great. Do a lot of people visit the farm as a kind of a vacation destination, Doug? Or
To a certain degree, you know, we've been in Wall Street Journal, National Geographic, People Magazine. Newspapers come here all the time, so we're pretty well known. So there's a steady flow of visitors who come just to because they've heard about us to come see what it's like. And then we have a number of organized conferences and workshops and week-long programs throughout, mainly through the spring and up through the fall.
Mm-hmm. And so, Freya, what will who's speaking? What can people expect? It's Wednesday, August 10th through Sunday, August 14th at the farm. And again, people can go to AmericanVegan.org. Who's speaking? What can people expect to have happen if they participate?
Well, let me tell you about some of the speakers. We have Louise Hagler, who lives on the farm, and she edited the Farm Vegetarian Cookbook and Tofu Cookery and has written a number of other excellent vegan books. Cynthia and Bob Holtzapfel, who run the book publishing company, will be speaking. Bob Bloomfield, who works at book publishing but is also a cook and has authored a number of cookbooks, will be giving a cooking demo.
Excellent.
Albert Bates, who works at the Eco Village Training Center on the farm, will be speaking to us.
The Eco Village Training Center. What's that, Doug?
That's one of the places where it's like a mini conference center adjacent to our other conference center, but it specifically focuses on natural building, wetlands preservation, solar. It's off the grid, so it has examples of alternative energy and natural building.
So the farm does a lot of good work. It does international aid, famine relief work also, too?
We probably have more nonprofits in this 3-square-mile piece of property than you'll find just about anywhere in the country.
Great.
We're based on 1,700 acres, but right outside the community, I'm involved with another nonprofit called Swan Conservation Trust that's establishing a 1,500-acre nature preserve. The farm itself has 1,000 acres that's also set aside as a preserve, so we'll be taking people that are coming in for the weekend on hikes out into the deep forest to see some of the waterfalls and things that we have out there. Then we have Plenty International, which is a relief and development organization that has been spreading as well as some of the like drinking water systems, building homes and schools, but a big focus of Plenty has been soy production. Back in 1980, I was team in Guatemala. I went to Guatemala for 2 years, and we built a soy dairy in the town of Sololá, Guatemala, which produces tofu, soy milk, and ice bean, which is sold all over the country. So that project has been going for over 20 years now. Uh-huh. And it supplies a number of jobs for people in one of the villages, and then people come to the dairy and pick up the ice bean. They now turn it into soy milk, ice bean, frozen on a stick like a popsicle, so people can come in from other villages, get a 5-gallon bucket full of ice and popsicles, and then get on a bus, ride back to their village. So it spreads soy and a more nutritious food all around the country.
Right, and they don't have to go suffer lactose intolerance after that. So, mm-hmm.
Or a lot of chemicals. The ice cream in third world countries is mostly chemicals. There's not that much even milk in it.
Ew.
And then down in Belize, we have an office in Belize where we're doing home gardens in about a dozen different Mayan villages next to the school, so that the school children are going out working in the garden, and then the vegetables that are grown are used to provide school lunches. So we're trying to provide greater nutrition in that way at the schools in this one area in Belize. And we also have a vegetarian restaurant that we helped start there next to our office. And then that man goes out into the villages, has been doing soy demonstrations and teaching people about soy products down there as well.
Wonderful. Well, Freya, you picked the right place to have a conference.
Oh, yes. There's so much to learn. Doug, of course, is one of our speakers, and so is his wife, Deborah. She'll be talking about midwifery. And Frank Michael will be talking about mushroom growing and spore production. And we're also bringing in some of the authors with book publishing, such as the nutritionist Vasanto Molina and Brenda Davis, who've written books on becoming vegetarian and becoming vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Karen Davis, who is an advocate for the hens in the poultry raising system. So we have a very good program lined up.
Excellent. Are you going to be able to leave the farm, Freya? Or are you gonna it might be hard to leave. You may become a permanent resident after this. You know.
Well, so. I think they'd be happy if a few people considered staying there to be residents.
Okay, so we have, I don't know, maybe another 30 seconds or a minute left. Is there anything I missed? Oh, well, people can, I guess they should subscribe to the American Vegan, your magazine.
Yes, even if they can't come to the conference, they should be in touch with us and join American Vegan Society. We have an annual subscription of $20. It's $10 for low-income people and students, so shouldn't be a barrier. Cost shouldn't be a barrier to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So how might people contact you? We said the website is AmericanVegan.org.
Yes. Our address is Malaga, New Jersey, 08328.
Malaga, New Jersey.
Yes. 08328.
08328.
Yes. American Vegan Society, Malaga, New Jersey. Mail will get to us.
Excellent. Well, good luck on the conference. It sounds spectacular. I wish I could be there.
Well, come out and see us sometime.
Hope you will get there.
I will come out and see you sometime. I definitely, it sounds great. So I appreciate you being on the show today. Freya Dinshaw, American Vegan Society, Doug Stevenson of The Farm. And if you missed any of our conversation, we're archived at goveganradio.com, so you can check it out there. Thank you, Freya. Thank you, Doug, for
All
being
right,
on
take
Go
care.
Vegan. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us, Bob.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ooh, got to get to the calendar items. And there's a lot on the calendar. I can tell by how thick the folder is that I bring into the studio here. And by the way, if you do have an event coming up, a vegetarian or animal rights-oriented event, you get a special discount for the special person that you are. And you get that from Shalom Printing in Sherman Oaks, California. You can email shalomprinting@aol.com. Shalom Printing on Ventura Boulevard. Let's see, Ventura Boulevard, just east of the 405 freeway at Noble. Right there, get down there. see here. Oh, check out Happy Cow's Vegetarian Guide to Restaurants and Health Food Stores. You might win an all-expense-paid trip to Hawaii for two, including airfare, hotel, car rental, massage, and gourmet vegan meals at the Blossoming Lotus Restaurant. For details about the essay contest, log on to happycow.net. And the essay, not a very difficult subject. It's actually a very pleasant one. It involves the Vegan World Fusion Cuisine Cookbook. And not a tough assignment at all. For details about the essay, go to happycow.net, and you can also find listings for vegetarian restaurants and health food markets in 90 countries around the world. Okay. I mentioned, unfortunately, the saddest show on earth is still in town, still in Southern California. The circus still in Anaheim at Arrowhead Pond, and that is until next Sunday, August 7th. And so, you know, go out, protest anytime. And then San Diego, opening night, August 10th, 6 p.m., protests are planned there. And again, once again, I'm going to walk onto the property, that will be, asserting my constitutional rights, for which I was arrested last year. The bogus arrest last year pertained to the megaphone, so I won't use the megaphone, even though it was a bogus arrest. The time has come for us to leave the perimeter and talk to the peeps who are attending the show, the people who are animal lovers but don't realize how the animals are treated. If we love animals, we don't go to the circus. We all treasure the La Jolla seals. They need your help also, part of the Rake-A-Line program. Believe me, you've already had the training to participate in this. All you have to do is sit out on a lounge chair on the beach. You rake a line, you hold a sign, and when tourists come, and think, oh, wouldn't it be great, to put our umbrella down here on the sand by the seals, you inform them that it just happens to be the seals' home, and it kind of freaks them out when people are there. And the tourists, they come to San Diego because we have the seals. Unfortunately, quite often you go there and there's a mean people exhibit of people who actually want to chase the seals away. And of course, we have a city government as corrupt as our national government, and so they've abrogated the responsibility of having the barrier up and the signs and all of that, so it's left up to the people. So please participate. Help the seals, and call Sarah, 619-723-0901. 619-723-0901 to volunteer, no matter how much time you have, to sit on the beach and say hello to people visiting America's finest city. You can email Sarah at SKCNM. So that's like what? Strawberry, kale, cherry, nut, melon. SKCNM 2002 at yahoo.com. Please help the seals. They are such a treasure. Well, next Sunday, August 7th, the Orange County group of the Sierra Club, the Angeles group, True Cost of Food Campaign presents Sunset at the Newport Back Bay Interpretive Center. I don't know if you realize, but it's become Sierra Club policy now, this True Cost of Food. The policy now is to suggest that we might be vegan and we might go organic. So the Sierra Club is joining us in the campaign. So join the Sierra Club at the Peter and Mary Muth Interpretive Center. Did I get that right? M-U-T-H? Newport. Beginning the evening with appetizers, wine tasting. There's music, cellist. It'd be a wonderful time. Acoustic guitar, all sorts of great things. Acoustic, blues, ragtime, jazz, a lot of great music at this. The Orange County group True Cost of Food Campaign has created this evening, not only to experience the beauty of the 140-acre nature preserve, but also to experience locally grown organic appetizers. A lot of participation from local restaurants and markets, so definitely plan on attending. Ticket prices are just $15 per person or $25 per couple. Act on it now because ticket sales are going. It might sell out. 714-964-4488, 714-964-4488. And again, that is next Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m., sunset at the Newport Back Bay Interpretive Center. And I'm really going to try to be there. I really want to be there for that. It's easier for me to get there than the farm right now at the moment. So that's what I intend to do. There's the Walk for Country Critters, a rescue and refuge benefit for farmed animals. It's happening August 14th. So that's a Sunday, August 14th in Venice. If you're a caring city slicker who wants to help country critters, then put on your walking shoes, no leather, please, and raise funds to provide shelter for the farmed animals who will be living at Animal Acres, which is the new Los Angeles farmed animal sanctuary that's being formed by Laurie Bouston, who was with Farm Sanctuary. So you can help. Sign up as a participant in the Los Angeles Walk for Country Critters. Call 661-269-0986, 661-269-0986, or email info@animalacres.org. So check out the website. It's animalacres.org. And I know that help is needed, I think, just about every Saturday to work the land to help prepare for the coming animals to the new refuge in the Los Angeles area. So if you can help out and be there on Saturdays, that would be great. And don't forget, get involved with the Walk for Country Critters, August 14th. That's in Venice. Let's see here. Oh, something else. Oh, boy. Holy cow, time. An evening with the Buffalo Field Campaign, the only group working in the field 365 days a year to protect the last wild free-roaming herd. That's Sunday, August 28th. 7:30 p.m. at the Canoga Owens Mouth Historical Museum, 7248 Owens Mouth Avenue, Canoga Park, California, which is north of Sherman Way, between Topanga Canyon Boulevard and Canoga Avenue. It sounds like it's just short walking distance from Follow Your Heart. There'll be a multimedia presentation, including special guest lecturer Mike Meese of the Buffalo Field Campaign. And Mr. Meese will be featured on this program on broadcast date August 21st. Please send your donation so I can buy the time so we can promote events such as this, the Buffalo Field Campaign. There you have it. What, do I have contact information here, or did I put that somewhere? Oh, boy. Well, if you're interested, you need contact information, email me, bob@goveganradio.com. But again, it's Sunday, August 28th, 7:30 p.m. At the Canoga Owens Mouth Historical Museum, 7248 Owens Mouth Avenue in Canoga Park. Okay, suggested donation $15. Oh, here's a number for you to call for it. It's 818-341-2461. 818-341-2461. Email address buffaloevent@worldnet.att.net. You can also go to the website buffalofieldcampaign.org. Okay, let's see, anything else I can get to here. Maybe talk to you more about this next week as it gets closer. But there's a vegan event, vegan athletes getting together September 24th in San Francisco. No time now. No time to talk about it, but next week. And then the 33rd Annual Cancer Convention open to the general public and professionals September 3rd, 4th, and 5th is coming to the Sheraton Universal. We'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. As long as you send money so I can pay the stations for airtime, tax-deductible donations made out to Go Vegan, mail to P.O. Box 40246, and that is San Diego 92164. You can also donate online. Go to the website. It's goveganradio.com. Ah!
Going vegan just got easier. Presenting Follow Your Heart Chicken Free Chicken. Now at natural food stores everywhere. All the taste, none of the bird. Vegan, low fat, low sodium, cholesterol free, chicken free chicken from Follow Your Heart. 11 grams of protein per 2.5 ounce serving. Ready to serve, delicious hot or cold, like on a sandwich with new organic veggies. You are what you eat. Don't be chicken. Try Chicken Free Chicken. Get some at Follow Your Heart on Sherman Way, a block and a half east of Topanga, Canoga Park, and natural food stores everywhere.
And if you're a vegan looking for a set of wheels, I suggest you visit Bear Auto in Vista at 1944 South Santa Fe Drive, where, well, you'll feel comfortable. I mean, there are PETA posters on the wall, you know. So tell Gary you're a vegan. You'll be treated as the VIP you are, the vegan important person. Phone number 760-597-1600. And they would like to buy your car, too. So go to the website for details. It's bearautosales.com, bearautosales.com.
Mad cow, bird flu. Which one is killing you?
And, you know, we're always looking for natural ways of healing, and one of those ways that has been around for thousands of years is acupuncture from Chinese medicine. And Julie Chang, Chang Acupuncture and Associates, 7969 Engineer Road in Kearney Mesa, specializes in alleviating pain and fertility issues. And so especially if you're suffering from pain during pregnancy, get in touch with Julie. I think that, you know, you're going to like what happens. You'll like the results. And this is really for a wide variety of pain, anything from arthritis to back pain to headaches to hiccups to knee pain to shingles to tennis elbow. If you're suffering pain of a constipation, headache, definitely get in touch with Julie. Get in touch with Chang Acupuncture and Associates. And I think you'll be very pleased. It's sdhealthylife.com, sdhealthylife.com. And you can see Julie's interview with Channel 739 also.
I'm a vegan because meat hurts animals.
And we don't want to hurt animals. So let's go vegan. Let's get healthy. Let's drink goji juice, okay? We've been talking about goji juice here. And there was an article in the LA Times about a week ago, what was it, July 18th, talking about goji and longevity and its potential related to cancer. And I saw Dr. Earl Mindell, who thinks that this is the most amazing health discovery of his 40 years as a nutritionist, the author of the Vitamin Bible, selling millions worldwide, the one who convinced Carl Lewis, the Olympic athlete, to go vegan and give up dairy. And he's saying goji juice is it. And I saw him last week. He said goji juice can boost your immune system up to 300% if necessary. And also he recommended, you know, for night eaters, people who have to eat at night, a couple of capfuls of goji juice, and that would help with weight loss. So go to my website. It's govegan.freelife.com, govegan.freelife.com. And for the Pacific Islander community here in Southern California, go to loveberry.freelife.com, loveberry.freelife.com. That's Michael Akfaji's website, who says cha ji sa gof mung ni, which means, try it, because it tastes really good. Okay, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, now podcasting. All the information you need is at goveganradio.com. So much news I couldn't get to this week. More problems going on with the grand jury. Go to stopgrandjuries.com, stopgrandjuries.com. It looks like Nicole Fink has her court date on August 2nd, and it looks like she will be jailed for refusing to testify, as David Agronoff is still incarcerated, as Danae Kelly is still incarcerated. So I suggest now Nicole looks like she's going to be jailed. Go to stopgrandjuries.com. Wish I could get to Send money. Maybe we can make this a two-hour show, huh? Okay, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I thank you for listening. Please, go vegan, stop eating animals. The show is archived at goveganradio.com if you missed anything. I appreciate it. Your support is appreciated. And we will talk to you later. Please, stop eating and wearing animals. And don't go to the circus. It hurts animals.